Welcome back to Lawless Ladies. I'm your host, Jenna.
And I'm Ellie.
I've been really intrigued with a story that's been really popular in the media. Ellie, have you ever seen the movie The Orphan from the 2000s?
No, I don't think so. Is it a scary movie, right?
Yeah, it's like a child is adopted, and then she's not actually a child. She's an adult with a severe medical issue that makes her little. And so she then tries to kill her adopted family.
Oh, my God. Is that what we're going to be learning about today?
Well, our lawless lady for today used that movie plot in real life. You may think it's the little girl that was adopted, that she maybe murdered her family, but our lawless lady is her adopted mother.
Oh.
Christine Barnett, the woman that adopted Natalia Grace with her husband, Michael Barnett.
Oh, ooh, exciting.
Yes. So I watched a documentary called The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. Since this documentary came out, it's been blowing up in social media. I literally binged it in like a week. It's two seasons, and I was so interested. So I'll give you a little background on the adoption and how we got to this crime.
Okay, cool.
Christine and her husband, Michael, adopted Natalia when she was about 6 or 7 years old. Natalia's Ukrainian birth certificate stated that she was born September 4th, 2003. Natalia has a rare form of dwarfism, and I'm going to try to say what it's called, but as you know, Ellie, and our listeners know, I really struggle remembering words, pronouncing words.
Not important.
You know.
It's not important for a podcast. Don't worry
about it. Yeah, not important for someone that uses
We'll work their through words. It together.
Yes. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to try this out. Spondyloepiphyseal dysplasia congenita.
That sounds exactly right.
SEDC.
Oh, thank God there's an acronym.
So how this shows up in Natalia is when she walks on her tiptoe. She overcompensates to one side. She has club feet. Natalia had numerous surgeries, and she really struggled to walk due to this medical issue that she had.
Is this a medical issue that you're just, like, born with?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Got so it. She was born with it. Natalia was born in Ukraine. Her mother didn't have a lot of money or resources to afford surgeries that Natalia needed to, like, live a decent life. Mm-hmm. So her mother said that the doctors convinced her to give up Natalia so that she could have a better life and get the medical help that she needed. You want to know what the doctor actually told her, Mom?
Oh, I don't know. Do I?
This was in 2003. The doctor said, you can just have another baby.
Oh, yeah. She can.
Just have a new one.
Of course. Let me guess. Was the doctor
a band?
Yeah. Mm.
Perhaps.
You know, I learned a fun fact this weekend that having a baby is 42% more dangerous than an abortion. Childbirth is like no joke.
Yeah.
Don't worry. This one's broken, but you could just have another one.
Yeah.
That's just terrible.
Pop out another one.
It's terrible.
The Curious Case of Natalia Grace on Max. Insert ad, Max, please pay us money.
HBO.
But you really see her adopted father and how insane he is. The whole first season is about Michael, and he tells the story about how great his life was before Natalia came, before they adopted her. They had a 5,000 square foot house, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank.
Oh, la-di-da.
He literally used the word McMansion to describe his own home.
Ew.
Just disgusting.
Does he know that a McMansion, like, isn't a good term and, like, isn't something to, like, brag about?
To brag about? No, because it seems like he's just conceited and wants money.
Okay, so here's another question. I'm not sure exactly how the adoption system necessarily works. Wouldn't the adoption system want parents that, like, want kids? It sounds like he was kind of a dick. Is that just, like, not a disqualifier?
Well, how Michael tells the story, everything was so perfect, they had room for one more.
Oh.
Which sounds sweet, right?
It does.
Want to take a guess at how you think they made their money, the Barnetts?
I want to say that the dad sounds like he's a small league, like, poker champion.
Ooh, I like, or, like, that.
Some sort of gambling. The mom is a nail tech.
And she just does really amazing, elaborate nails.
Yeah, she only paints in gold and silver.
Ooh, I love this for them. I wish they were that cool. The way that they actually made the money, Christine wrote a book.
Oh, and we love to see the woman be the breadwinner and the man taking all the credit for it in interviews.
Exactly. And you can buy this book on Amazon still. It's called The Spark. Christine and Michael's firstborn son, Jacob, has an IQ higher than Einstein's. He's got a photographic memory.
Cool.
He taught himself the entire math classes, all of the ones you would take in high school. He taught himself how to do that in 2 weeks.
Holy shit.
But when Jacob was 2 years old, he was diagnosed with autism. Doctors had told his parents that he would likely never read, talk, do basic activities.
When was he born?
He was in, like, probably the late 90s.
Okay, yeah. Because now so much more is understood about autism. There are a number of cases where autism turns into a savant adult. Yeah.
And that's what happened here with Jacob. He went from them thinking, like, he won't be able to tie his shoes to teen TED Talks, where he was talking to a whole room of people and teaching them something about a topic that he was an expert in.
Wow.
Christine thought she was the reason that he was a genius. She made him that way because he was born with this issue, and then she made it so that he was this genius and was able to speak and do all these things. And the book is literally her perspective on the whole situation.
So her book's just like, I'm the best, and I made a baby, and I could take credit for all of their accomplishments.
She did homeschool him, so she says it was her work with him that made him that way, but in reality, it was probably that maybe she was supportive and did work with him, and that helped him. We don't really know what happened in that household, and I'm a little curious what actually did, and I will get to that later.
Because I was under the impression that you're kind of born with the IQ capacity. I don't know if you can gain IQ.
I don't either.
Well, I've taken an IQ test.
You did?
And it's, yeah.
Well, what's your IQ then, Ellie?
So,
just kidding, if you want to share with the world.
I happily report I have above average.
Yay!
They test your IQ and they give you your overall score. Mm-hmm. And mine was like, pretty good, I'd say. It tests it specific by subject, too. So I just always was curious if you're born with the IQ capacity or if over time that can change.
I don't know. We'll have to look that one up.
Well, any neurologists or neuroscientists listeners, if you'd like to write in and let us know.
Christine made some money off of this book. They had so much money that she was able to also create a nonprofit for autistic kids.
Oh, good for her.
So on paper, they have the money, they have the nonprofit, they have this genius son with a disability, and he's thriving. So
yeah,
they
look
really appealing to adopt a little girl with a rare case of dwarfism.
Yeah.
Seems like a great family, right? But what I believe, and I discovered this with all of the research, Christine thought, since she did such an amazing job with Jacob, and it was all because of her.
Clearly. So she thought she could, like, cure.
Yes, and make these little genius children. So she was thinking more about the money and making another book and going on another press tour with and using this little girl. She thought she had all of this power. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, yeah, that's a different kind of disorder in itself, isn't it?
Yep. So Michael reflects on Natalia's adoption in the documentary, and he claims that Natalia's adoption building and company were really sketchy. They were located in this rundown place in Florida. They only had 24 hours to make a decision if they were going to adopt Natalia. And all of this seems kind of weird. Even if you thought that the adoption company was a little sketchy, why would you even go through with it?
For that dollar bills, yo.
Right? Natalia was adopted by a family before the Barnett. The Ciccones adopted her right from Ukraine. And so they paid $20,000 to adopt a child from another country. And I think it's like getting them transported and all that stuff that goes into it. So they adopted her when she was about 4 or 5. She was in a Ukrainian orphanage for a while as well before that. So she's kind of been bounced around a lot.
Yeah.
But the Chaconis have never said a single thing about the adoption after all of this has been going around in the media. They just haven't spoke.
They've never spoken publicly?
They haven't spoke up publicly, which also is kind of weird as well.
That is strange now that there's a whole HBO Max.
I know. And people have reached out to them and they say they don't want to be in the public eye.
Well,
and
I mean, fair enough. Did Michael talk to the Chaconis?
Well, Michael says they never met the Chaconis, but Natalia says they did. So there's all these contradicting things. Mm. And we don't know why the Chaconis gave up Natalia after a year with her. But what they did do is they reached out to Little People of America to try and find her a new home. So I have a feeling that maybe they didn't realize all the challenges she would have had. Like, going upstairs is really difficult for her. Mm. She walks on her tiptoes. She needed a lot of surgeries at a young age. And that's very expensive. There were a few families that met with Natalia. And there were even a couple that were interviewed for this documentary. One of the women that met with Natalia said that Diane Chaconi, the mom, was really sleazy, like a salesperson trying to sell Natalia.
Oh.
They just wanted to get rid of her, maybe. Mm. And the family said that they met the Chaconis in person. Natalia would look to Diane to answer any of the questions, like for validation. She was in a shell and she would like kind of come out of her shell, say something and go back in that shell.
Okay.
So that feels like maybe there was some abuse or something there. Diane wanted the new family to pay for medical fees from surgeries that Natalia already had.
Oh, so, like, they wanted to be reimbursed?
Reimbursed. Yeah. So that also is like, what?
Not sure that's how that works.
Then this family was like, we're not going to go forward. That seems ridiculous. So they stopped, okay. You know. The adoption company that Michael said was all the sketchy, all this stuff, they published a rebuttal to what Michael said. The adoption process of Natalia was carried out by a court in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire!
We don't even know where Florida came around, right? Like, those are two different states.
Okay, wait. So Michael shit-talked the adoption agency and said it was super sketchy. And then the agency released a rebuttal.
They didn't even do the adoption. The adoption was through a court. So, like, this adoption agency just kind of was, like, a facilitator of some stuff. Okay. But they didn't do the actual adoption.
Oh, interesting.
And so this is also weird that all these people are denying all this stuff that's tied to her. So we're not getting any true stories here. Uh-huh. They also even said, we didn't give the Barnetts 24 hours to decide. So all of the stuff that Michael is saying, they're contradicting all of that.
Okay. So Michael's a little McLiar.
Yes. It is McMansion. So the Barnetts have to be lying about this. What else are they lying about?
Dun, dun, dun.
We'll get there.
Okay.
There's a lot of background info in this case to kind of help you understand where everything came from. We're not adopted, but if you were adopted, Ellie, do you think you would try to seek out your birth parents?
Don't know. I feel like I'm very curious. I mean, it really depends on a lot of circumstances. If I was really happy with my adoptive parents, depending on how old I was when I was adopted. But I do feel like at a certain point, I would want to know my biological parents and their story and what they went through. So I would prefer to have like an open adoption situation where I would have the ability to find my parents if I wanted to.
I'm pretty torn. It's a lot to factor in. Yeah. And these kids have to think about that too, like when they're a little older. Natalia chose to not open that door with her mom and she decided not to ever contact her. The Barnetts adopted Natalia, and then when Christine brought her home and gave her her first bath, she's around like 7 years old, Christine screamed, Michael, Natalia has pubic hair.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. So girls usually start getting pubic hair between 8 and 12 years old. Mm-hmm. She's around 6, 7. Who cares, really? But the Barnetts immediately think Natalia's older than what her Ukrainian birth certificate said.
Okay.
And sometimes that happens, like, I guess some countries will, like, fudge, like, a year or two or 3 years on a little kid so that they're more appealing because people want babies or younger kids. Even if it is, like, 2-3 years, who really cares? They made such a big thing about it. And then Christine claimed that she found bloody underwear. Michael said Natalia admitted to him that she had her period and was hiding it. Again, who really cares? Why does this really matter? Yeah. But what we found out in season 2 of this documentary, Natalia didn't have her period. She stated that Christine told her she had her period and coerced her into believing she did and made Natalia shove a tampon up there.
Oh my God.
And then, of course, there was blood after that because she's a little girl.
Yeah.
And you would give her a maxi pad, one of those big ass diapers, not a tampon.
No. That's she just did. Terrible, too, anyway. Like, who does the first period with a fucking tampon?
You wouldn't.
That's advanced level.
Christine did abuse Natalia. She beat her. She would make Natalia stand up against the wall for like 8 hours with no break. And Natalia has this disability where walking, standing hurts her body. So she had to have been in like so much pain during this. There's literally a video of her forcing her to have her face up against the wall, standing
Jesus.
There. And I'm thinking, was Christine recording this because she was like proud of it and like showing Michael, look what I did or something? Or was she rewatching it? It just is really gross to me.
Yeah.
Then Christine and Michael started telling people in their lives, like their neighbors and their family members, that Natalia was trying to kill them.
What?
Yep. And that she stole knives and were hiding them under her bed, which is literally from the Orphan movie.
Okay.
Like, they just were taking things from this movie and lying and telling people to build a case against Natalia.
Because they wanted to get out of this adoption? They wanted to give Natalia back? Like, what was the end game?
We don't know the exact end game. Was it child abuse or was it to dump her? I think it was to get rid of her.
These are some great people you chose, Jenna.
Well, we're looking for criminals.
Yeah, and... No. You made the right choice.
So Natalia had her room taken away and was forced to sleep outside.
Oh, where did they live again?
They're in Indiana. So there's cold times.
There's very cold times.
And a neighbor called the police because they heard Natalia crying outside.
Oh.
The police came and declared that the house was fine. There's no abuse happening.
Great job, officer. These wellness checks, honestly.
It's ridiculous.
We need to do something about these wellness checks.
And there are actual videos of Natalia saying one thing to police and then saying something different. So she contradicted herself. But that is because Christine was beating her into saying certain things. So she said something first, and then Christine beat her and said, don't say that. And so then she changed her whole story the next time she ended up talking with Child Protective Services.
Oh, my God.
The neighbors heard from Michael and Christine that Natalia was a sociopath. And then they even saw this child abuse of Natalia being outside. Christine made her walk around the neighborhood without any shoes.
Oh, my God.
Which is really hard on her feet. She has to have special shoes. That's very painful. And there are multiple parts in the documentary where Natalia claims she didn't have the right shoes for her body. And she even mentioned, I think the shoes are like $20,000, something ridiculous to get the specially made ones just for her. God. But you would think if you have a McMansion, you can buy your child some shoes.
Yeah, where's Michael bragging about all of his gold in his bank account? No, it's just, oh my God.
Ellie, this Michael Barnett is such a fucking disgusting human. In the documentary, his eyes are literally popping out of his head like he's on crack or meth or some
wild.
I know
where the money's going.
To the drugs.
Go game.
It could be. Or prescription drugs or something. There's something off with it.
Okay.
And it could just be like a mental breakdown. He had mentioned that he tried to commit suicide a few times. So he is a hot mess express.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally, like, screaming, crying, throwing tantrums like a child.
Oh, good. We love when we see emotional dysregulation, just plain as day.
I can't imagine living in a house with him like that and then the abuse from Christine. Like, it is just wild. Michael claimed Natalia tried to poison Christine by putting, like, Pledge, you know, the floor cleaner that's mm-hmm. toxic, in Christine's cup. Do I know what movie that's from? Where the mother puts a toxic thing in her daughter's food?
Oh, yeah, tell me.
The Sixth Sense.
Interesting. They're just pulling from all the blockbusters.
All the blockbusters. Yeah, they're just stealing all the ideas to make up that Natalia's this awful person. The Barnetts also said Natalia was standing at the edge of their bed with a knife in the middle of the night. But she's a little person. She said, I was so little, I couldn't even see over their bed because they had a higher up bed. So if she was at the edge of the bed holding this knife, they can't even see
like
her.
Like a Chucky doll?
Yes. And the Barnetts never reported to authorities that Natalia was doing these things. They were just telling friends and family.
Oh, it's just gossip.
Gossipy. So it's like, what is your end game here? Getting rid of this child, it seems like.
Or could it have possibly been that Christine was trying to garner interest in her upcoming book if she was going to write about this child?
It could...
How she, being the savior that she is,
made it all better.
That she was able to save this child from being a sociopath, according to her.
The audacity just that crazy. Christine had.
People can be so selfish and self-absorbed sometimes. Isn't there some sort of, like, interview process with adoption?
There like, are. Yeah, friends that adopted kids and they're like, we had to go to classes. There were multiple at-home interviews. Family and friends had to be interviewed. People had to write letters of recommendation.
So maybe Christine's the sociopath.
I do think so. Michael said a therapist told them that they are in extreme danger with Natalia and that they should lock Natalia up in her room with a lock on the outside. And he said in air quotes that she's a sociopath.
This therapist...
Michael says a therapist said this, but there's no record of a therapist saying this in any documentation.
Oh.
Again, he said...
Got it.
I call bullshit. Every single court report, these doctors said that she wasn't older than her birth certificate. She was not a sociopath. Multiple teachers at her school even said she was really sweet little girl.
Okay.
But nothing to think that she is like the orphan movie where she's an adult lady dressed up as a little child trying to kill this family. These are things that the Barnetts used in their court case to legally change Natalia's age from 8 or 9 years old to 22 years old.
You can do that?
You could re-age an adopted child.
What?
This happens a lot. Like,
it happens a lot?
Yeah, like you could adopt a kid from another country and they could be a year or two different, but not 14 years different.
Yeah.
June 3rd, 2010, Natalia was examined by a doctor and she was 8 years old, the doctor said. When they examine, they get a rough range. They can't tell you you're exactly 9 years old, but they're like a range, 8 to 9, 7 to 10.
Okay.
And then in 2011, a dentist said that Natalia was between 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
She still has some baby teeth.
She can't be 22 with baby teeth.
Exactly.
Were they just like bored and wanted to have like another person to drink with? And they were like, you're 22 now.
They really wanted to get rid of her. Only one doctor, and this was Michael's primary care doctor. This adult doctor wrote a typed letter. Supposedly, Dr. McLaren said he was suspicious of her age, and he said that she's a sociopath and she's much older than her birth certificate. But what was really weird about this letter is that they say that the Barnetts are the real victims. They suffered so many challenges financially and emotionally due to Natalia having sociopathic personality disorder. But that's not even a real thing for a child. You don't diagnose a child with that.
Also, a GP, a general practitioner, is not who you go to for a psychological analysis. Yes.
You're going to bring this little girl with a disability to him? Like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, and also, let's just count the facts that Natalia grew up in Ukraine during a not great time. 2003 in Ukraine, not the best. Grew up in poverty, had a congenitive disability, was shifted around to an orphanage, a couple of families, and then ended up in an abusive household. But no, you're right, Michael and Christine, you are the victims.
You are the real victims.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was a 3-page letter about how awful Natalia is, although nothing it was written like a doctor. Like, there wasn't a diagnosis. There wasn't actual doctor words.
Yeah, because he could lose his license if he did a diagnosis, technically. And he's also not qualified to.
Did he actually write it? Did Christine write it? Is he their friend and he wrote it?
20 bucks. It's a family friend.
I think Christine wrote it.
I think Christine wrote it.
Yeah, I really do. She seems more like the mastermind. It's just the documentary was Michael speaking.
Oh, so Christine didn't speak on this?
No, she did not speak. It's Michael's side of the story. Michael also stated that Natalia was at Ascension Stress Center. He said that the stress center told him that Natalia needed to be locked up and she shouldn't have free range of the house.
Oh my God. And all of this is just based on what Michael is telling these medical professionals and neighbors and everything. It's all just word of mouth. Because, I mean, what kind of tests are there for a child for sociopathic behavior?
There's no evidence that she was even at this center.
Wait.
Is he just like Google searching places?
Making shit up.
Oh, she was here. She was there.
Oh my God. And he's making these statements like to the courts.
Yeah, this is all part of the case to re-age her, as well as stuff that he's vocalizing to the public in this documentary after all this happened.
Okay.
He also said that the police told him to do the re-aging. They were like, Natalia is doing all these things. You should re-age her because she's an adult.
I thought they didn't go to the police or make a statement about her.
Exactly.
Oh my God. You can't just lie, guys.
Yes. Just so many lies.
You can't just lie like
that. So there was a detective that did look into some of this stuff. He says the complete opposite in the report that, you know, she had baby teeth when she came to the U.S. Yeah. In the photo, you can clearly tell, like, she was missing, like, a little tooth. The detective is now deceased, so we're not able to, like, ask him. But his report was very clear and said the complete opposite. She is a child.
Okay. Well, thank God, detective, you filed a report.
Well, yeah, but
oh God.
there really was no evidence outside of that stupid letter from Dr. McLaren. Court still went through with it and approved the age change.
Wait.
With just that one letter and whatever the Barnetts had said.
Is this a court in New Hampshire?
I'm pretty sure this is in Indiana because that's where they lived. She was changed from being born in 2003 to 1989.
Oh my God.
This is not common to re-age someone by 14 years.
That's insane. Like,
Natalia didn't know they re-aged her. The judge said, okay, so you stop growing when you're 18 years old. Natalia hasn't grown in 4 years. She's 22 years old. Who is this judge?
Are they just, like, disregarding the dwarfism?
Disregarding the fact that she has a Ukrainian birth certificate that says 2003 on it.
And the baby teeth.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's the kicker. In Indiana, at age 22 is when a parent is no longer financially responsible for their child.
So that's definitely what they were doing.
Natalia had been hospitalized right around the time of the re-aging. Once the re-aging, like, papers went through, Christine refused to pick her up from the hospital. She's an adult, and I'm done with her. The hospital couldn't just release this disabled little girl to the streets, so they put Natalia in a halfway house with people that were recovering from drug abuse
oh my
and
God.
Criminal background issues.
And she's realistically eight or nine. Oh my.
Christine picked up Natalia 3 days later, but you want to know why she picked her up? She was worried about public perception if her daughter died of an overdose.
Not only is her daughter not the age she says she is, she's also now at risk of being a drug addict and
dying of an overdose. Yeah. A detective quoted Christine stating, she would not have her midget daughter die of an overdose.
That's not the right term.
Nope. That was a quote.
That's very telling.
We don't use that word. This woman very is a freaking monster.
Yeah.
You could go back and look at people's texts. So be careful if you're going to commit a crime. They could check your old texts. I'm terrified.
Yeah. You're still fucked.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Don't commit crimes, guys.
So the Barnetts picked up Natalia from this halfway house and they dumped her at an apartment complex and paid 3 months rent. They moved to Canada.
Oh my God.
For their genius son, Jacob, to go to college as a teen.
I forgot about Jacob.
Yep.
This well, how genius... does Jacob feel about all this? Did they ever get... Was he on the...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yep. So he was also supposedly abused by Christine as well.
I have heard before that if you want to be a genius, you just got to beat the genius and smarts into them.
Yes, that's exactly
so
it.
So was that in her book?
Yes, that's probably her book. I didn't read it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to support her, anything. So Natalia's 8 or 9 years old. Imagine like a child that age having to take care of themselves as well. She's a little person. The Barnetts did one nice thing. They at least got her on disability so she could have food stamps.
Oh, thanks.
An 8 or 9 year old, they've never gone grocery shopping by themselves. They don't know how to cook food.
Do we know if she can actually, if she's fluent in English yet?
Yeah, she is fluent. That was one thing. She did learn English, so at least she could communicate.
To who?
She was just hungry, starving for love and care, and she's disabled. Just, like, think about, like, your stove, and you think about where your little knobs are to turn it on and off. They're at the very back. So she's got these small arms. Wow. She can't reach those knobs without burning herself.
Oh, my.
Her apartment was not set up with any accommodations for a little person. Like, and she even, like, struggled to, like, grip things the way her hands were. She could have used one of those little gripper thingers to help her hold things. And she didn't have any resources.
All she had was the food stamps, and they had gone to Canada.
Yeah.
And they only paid for 3 months for the rent.
Well, then she was on Social Security, so what they were doing is they were having the checks go to them, and then they were taking out rent from it.
Even though she was technically 22 because they made her change that, she couldn't receive the checks herself?
Nope. They were doing the checks. Cunts. And they were taking their cut of paying back for the rent, they said.
They were probably taking
the money.
Oh, my God.
Natalia told her neighbors her legal age was 22 because the Barnetts threatened her. Christine beat it into her that you are 22. You tell people this. And the neighbors that were interviewed were, like, so annoyed by her because she would, like, walk into people's houses. She smelled...
Neighbors were annoyed with Natalia.
With Natalia because she was walking in their house, eating their food. But she was probably just hungry. Well, the neighbors didn't know about the re-aging, so they assumed she actually was 22 and just was a little person.
Fair.
But the shameful thing is even if the neighbors thought she was an adult, they didn't try and seek help for her either. They just complained to management about her. Her mom would wait in the car, drop off groceries, and watch Natalia struggle to carry them in.
Oh my God.
One of the neighbors said she helped, but they complained.
They could have gotten her kicked out.
She didn't get evicted because they were like, we can't do anything about it, but they did not renew her lease. Mm. Christine was like, all right, let's move you elsewhere. So they moved her to Lafayette, Indiana, which is a very dangerous neighborhood. There's rehab halfway houses in the neighborhood. She's probably 9 or 10 years old now.
Oh my God.
There are literally a bunch of steps to even get up to the base floor of the property. And then she's on the second floor. No elevator.
Oh my God.
So this little girl can't even get into her apartment. Again, there's like a clawfoot tub, so she could have had a chair help her get in, but then you're slippery and wet,
yeah,
and you can't get out of the tub. And so no wonder why she freaking smelled. She didn't know how to bathe.
Of course, because also she's still a child. If you don't have a good parental guidance,
yeah,
then you're not going to have those basic
absolutely
skills.
Not. And it doesn't sound like they were supportive of her at all in this Barnett
no
home.
It does not.
So she was pulled out of school at 8 or 9 because she's now an adult.
Yeah, I was gonna say, okay, yeah,
so she didn't go to school, so she's just sitting around in this apartment all day, probably so bored and lonely. After a year of living alone in Lafayette, she met Cynthia and Antoine Manns, and they ended up becoming her adopted parents. She was with them for quite a few years, and they just adopted her last year.
And how was she adopted by them if she, technically her age is 22?
You can still be adopted. It's just who your parents are legally.
If, like, Beyonce wanted to adopt me right now at 33, she could.
I guess you can. I don't know.
I would love that. If Beyonce wants to sponsor our podcast, I'd also be okay with that.
Okay, how are you going to convince Beyonce to sponsor and adopt you?
I'd say, hey, babe, let me tell you about my reading comprehension IQ score.
Natalia changed, like, her Social Security money, all of her checks, to go from the Barnetts to the Mann family.
Good.
Michael flipped out.
Of course he did.
He made it sound so sketchy. Why would he still be getting money from her if she's not even living in a space with them?
Yeah.
And I think Michael just kind of needed the money. I have some good news. In September 2019, Michael and Christine Barnett were charged with 2 counts of neglect of Natalia.
Yay!
And Michael,
the long arm of the law took its fucking time.
Michael turned on Christine during this case.
That's surprising. Yeah. It seems like he's a pretty loyal stand-up dude.
He filed for a divorce and he was probably broke because she had all the money from the book. Michael said Christine was the one that was in control of everything. She would withhold sex from him to get him to do things.
Aww.
He was
poor baby Michael.
Yeah, he was spilling all the tea. Michael admitted to Detective Davenport during a random conversation that in 2019, he believed Natalia was 20 to 22 years old. 4 years ago, she was living in this apartment as a minor. She would have been 16. The prosecution went to Ukraine, met Natalia's mother, Anna Gava. They took Anna's DNA. She's a match. Anna confirmed Natalia was born in 2003. That's when she gave birth. If Natalia would have been born in 1989, which is what she was re-aged to, her mother would have been 10 years old when she had her. Pretty unlikely. Could happen, right? But that also proves the re-aging wrong.
Holy shit.
Christine has this history of violence. Neighbors telling them that Christine's always screaming at Michael outside. Michael said, and I quote, "Christine beat the holy hell out of her," meaning Natalia.
Mm.
It's so disgusting. He's like literally reenacting it in the documentary. He's like pounding the ground, and it even hurts his hand that he pounded the ground so hard.
Oh, poor Michael.
And he was like, this is what Christine was doing to Natalia.
Oh, yeah. And what were you doing? Standing back and watching?
And watching?
You're equally a piece of shit.
And now let's get to Jacob, Christine's child prodigy.
Yay.
So he now is living in Michael's basement, not doing so well. He's in the documentary. The producers did him dirty. He on accident left his mic on, and he was talking with his dad, Michael. He literally said something about kicking down the stairs. Michael assures him, oh, it's okay. You were a minor when it happened. You're fine. It sounds like Jacob kicked Natalia down the stairs. So we don't know if, like, Christine, like, told him to do it or if he just did it.
Well, if you grew up in an abusive household and watched that, the cycle continues.
Yep. And Jacob admitted on camera that he peed in Natalia's bed. He says that his mommy told him to do it. Natalia was urinating in inappropriate places. Well, when a child urinates in weird places, like, it's either a health condition or it's a, like, a response to being abused.
Yeah.
And Christine told Jacob a therapist told her to do it, and it will cleanse Natalia.
Christine and Michael were encouraging Jacob to pee in Natalia's bed.
Yes.
To correct Natalia's urinary incontinence.
Yep.
Great.
And a therapist said to do this.
Oh, was it the same imaginary therapist that they went to?
Michael's case was before Christine's. And what's the most devastating thing to hear is Michael was found not guilty of neglect.
How?
He had these awful lawyers, and they were super dramatic and manipulative, just like Michael.
Oh, birds of a feather.
Since she was legally an adult because they re-aged her, during Michael's case, the judge was like, you can't say anything about her being a child because she's an adult.
But was his case before they confirmed with the birth mother of Natalia? It doesn't matter
because she legally is that age and she was already re-aged.
But it should matter.
It should matter, right?
Because if it's invalidated, then that case and that decision should have been reversed and invalidated.
That's our legal system for you.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Oh my God.
So his case, he's off free. Then March 2023, Christine's charges are dropped, citing insufficient evidence after Michael's case.
What are you fucking talking about?
Right? So then they interviewed or they talked to some of the jurors from Michael's case later, and they said that 100% of them thought he was guilty of abandonment. But because the judge had so many, like, parameters around her age and what they could say and couldn't say, well, he's not guilty of child neglect because she's technically an adult. So they think that they were misled, all the jurors.
Oh, my God. I hate this system.
I mentioned a few examples of Christine's abuse. Natalia claims that Christine tried to overdose her, making her take her medication multiple times in a row. She was like, I just took it. And Christine's like, no, you didn't. You lied. Take it again.
She's an evil person.
And she even sprayed pepper spray in Natalia's eyes and wouldn't let her clean them up.
What the fuck? Have you ever gotten pepper spray in your eyes before?
No.
Okay. I did once at a protest. And let me tell you, not a good time. That shit burns for like hours unless you baking soda and water it out real quick. I'm actually disgusted. And I don't understand how the court of law could vacate her charges or dismiss the charges.
I'm so surprised. I don't get it. Like the prosecution really fucked this one up, I think.
Yeah.
Christine supposedly spent all the book money, and her son Jacob said, I didn't get any of it. And she denied allegations of abuse. Christine was the victim.
Of course she was.
So today, Christine and Michael are free.
I don't like this story, Jenna.
I'm sorry. Okay, the end of the second season of the documentary.
Yeah.
Natalia is living with the man's family. She found her family. And allegedly, a call 2 weeks after filming wrapped between the producers and the couple that recently adopted Natalia from the Barnetts. The couple, Antoine and Cynthia, say, we're done with Natalia after she betrayed them. Antoine literally told the producers, now I quote this, something ain't right with Natalia. This girl is tweaking. I feel like she's the enemy in the house. And she said to us, we have held her hostage, made us look like we're the enemy, which I didn't think in any of the documentary it looked like that. Natalia does not have emotions for nothing but herself. We're done. We're done with her. This was a new low.
What was a new low?
I don't know. That's the thing. No one has said that.
What?
Natalia's now had 3 adopted families in the U.S.
Yeah.
The Ciccones got rid of her after a year. The Barnetts had her for a few years and dumped her. And the Manns had her for like 10 years. This is kind of weird. If Christine was brainwashing Natalia and
pretty much experienced every traumatic event that she could, collected them childhood. Like Pokemon cards. And odd that it's 10 years that the Manns had her.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until this documentary.
What's up with that? They were with her for so many years. She got legally adopted by them. And then shortly after that was when this all came out. I'm very confused. And I think we'll need a part 2 of this episode once Christine tells her story.
Is she?
So she doesn't want anything to do with the documentary and the producers that painted her as an awful person, which she...
Well, that was not hard to do.
Right. And also, that was mostly Michael.
Yeah.
Steve's like...
She's been doing some social media rants and, like, long, long, long Facebook posts. And
classic.
Classic. One of them just starts with, Natalia was a much loved and cared for member of the family. She was not abused by anyone in my family. And it goes on and on and on.
The fact that she said, in my family, I wonder if she is being like, it was Michael.
Well, there was another post where she was like, Michael was good to her too, supposedly. I took screenshots.
Oh, I'll have to post those.
Yeah.
Screenshots.
We'll put those on the social medias.
On social media. At @lawless_ladies_podcast on Instagram and Threads.
Follow us and engage with us.
It's fun.
What I want to happen is I want Natalie to go after Christine and Michael through like some form of legal action. Like if she could sue, go yeah. after for the re-aging, the child abuse, the fact that she didn't get an education, something like that.
Damages, right? Like emotional damages.
Right?
She should be owed all of the Social Security money that was paid out.
Yeah.
Regardless, because again, she was 22, so they didn't have the right to access her finances.
What state do you think Christine lives in now? She's free. What state do you think of when you think of awful people in the U.S.?
Florida.
Yep! That's ding, 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 ding!
Sorry, anybody from Florida.
Y'all know it.
You guys live there. It's like a little sense of pride I feel like you guys have in the Florida man saga.
Yeah, she's living there, and days after the Natalia Speaks finale, Natalia posted on Instagram saying that after separating from the man, she's living with friends.
She has friends.
Yay. Yeah. I'm okay and doing well. Thank you all for your support and prayers. She said this January 5th of 2024.
Okay.
I wish I could tell you more about the show, but I signed an agreement with the show to keep things confidential for now. I will let you guys know when I can for sure, but just know I am okay. Love y'all.
Okay. I'm glad that she's okay, but it does sound like she signed a contract for season 3.
We'll probably have to wait a minute for them to record it, release it, but
yeah.
Oh, I'm just so excited for the next part.
So you can go and follow her on Instagram.
The end of the documentary read, Natalia's story will continue. So I leave you all today with a cliffhanger.
Oh, Jenna.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
We are available for sound effects.
Yes. Email us at info@lawlessladies.com.
Well, thanks for listening to this story
that
today. It was a fun one.
That is such a wild story. I mean, it's infuriating and I hate it, but I also was really intrigued and interested. We know our justice system has a definite level of corruption, whether it's towards people of color or towards apparently people with disabilities. Fucking wild.
I hope Natalia gets them.
They're literally saying that a disabled child is lying and fooling the entire world and yes. that Michael's word is the correct one.
I just loved hearing Natalia's side of the story, but then the whole thing with the Mann family, I'm like, there's got to be something more to this. Like, maybe something's happening. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing a little more what's going to happen the next year.
Well, I'm excited. Thank you so much, Jenna. Be sure to follow us if you like us and like what you're hearing. Throw us a little follow. Throw us a little rating, a little review. It really does help.
Yeah.
We're pretty cool, I think.
And we're releasing episodes
every other Tuesday on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, mostly everywhere.
Thanks, y'all.